Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are quite simply not doing their job. They're refusing to enforce the law, and they've created an unmitigated crisis at the border. A couple of months ago, I took 19 senators down to the border to see firsthand what was happening, and I've been to the border many, many times. It is worse than it has ever been. We had just last month over 180,000 people cross illegally. Last month, we're on pace for 2 million people to cross illegally. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have zero intention of doing anything.
You're here. That's Senator Ted Cruz, real deal senator from a real deal state of Texas. Welcome to the Dana Show. Look at that. It's like what Dana says. It's Friday. Woo-hoo, it's finally Friday. My goodness, where do we go? It's like a blur. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is the Dana Show from her Southern Command, the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, right here on the front lines of the biggest story in our country that is not really getting that much coverage these days from ABC, CBS, NBC. Also, the kids over there at the Clueless News Network, CNN, MSNBC, not even those folks. Fox is covering every now and then. And, of course, the more liberty-minded, truth-seeking, they call them conservative news channels out there. They're just talking about stuff that needs to be talked about. Yeah, the illegal immigration problem. Yeah, this is where we're broadcasting the Dana Show from the studios of KURV in South Texas, Dana Show Southern Command. If you want to join the show, 844-344-DANA. Good luck with that. Like, I got so much stuff to talk about today. Speaking of Ted Cruz and company, and of course the issue that Joe and Kamala Harris have zero intent to solve, this border crisis, and I add an extra word to that, Biden border crisis. We did not have a border crisis earlier this year until Joe Biden showed up. And that's the truth, amigo. We've got hundreds of thousands of people crossing the border pretty much every single month now. If we cross 200,000 this month, just in 1 month alone, I can say we got hundreds of thousands crossing the border illegally monthly. We're almost there. Last month, we were at 180,000 people. And the christened border czar, our Vice President Kamala Harris, I guess she's just yucking it up, laughing it up because she gets nervous about it, doesn't have an answer. And when she doesn't have an answer, that's all she does. She just does laugh. So why have a border czar to try to address the border, the immigration flood, the illegal immigration tsunami that we see? Why appoint someone if you're not going to do anything about it? So the battle cry right now, congratulations, thank you to some of our Republican, liberty-minded, let's enforce border law amigos up in D.C. saying, well, how about we fire Kamala Harris? Some House Republicans making a little bit of noise today. They're in the news, calling for Vice President Kamala Harris to be removed as border czar. She can go do something. Among them was Brian Babin. He said, we got a flood of illegal immigrants right now. Kamala Harris, she's bungled the response. Well, Congressman, I'd say ignored. Bungled would be like you actually took the reins, right? You took the reins or may try to, I'd say fumbled as well. Maybe try to catch the football And you lost it in the dirt. No, she didn't even try, man. She's not even here. And she's just playing a little song and dance. Let's look at the root causes and all that. Yeah, it's time to get rid of her. I think that's a good message. Brian Babin and some of you guys up in D.C., I think you should stay on that. I think that's a good war drum to be beating over the next several days. You never know. Maybe she'll stop cackling, laughing long enough because she's got no answer. Maybe she will come down here. And if she does, you know what I expect when she makes it? If she does. And it would only be a reaction to a continued call for her to resign as border czar. A continued call on the president and his people, the White House, who expressed, what was it that they said after she fumbled that response with that reporter from NBC, Lester Holt, a few days back. Well, you know, what's the point you're trying to make? I haven't been to the border. I haven't been to Europe. What was it the White House said the following? They gave it up to CNN. They, you know, their little friends over at CNN, they said something about, they were surprised. I think the word was surprised, right? They were surprised by the vice president's response to that. It might have been another word, but you get the gist. You know what I got from that? Is that it seemed like they were trying to distance the White House, the Biden White House were trying to distance themselves a little bit from Kamala Harris. It's a situation that has the border mess. It's a situation that has no solution unless you do the Marjorie Taylor Greene thing. And you admit as a president that you made a mistake. Like Marjorie Taylor Greene, she was in the news a couple of days back. I probably should have said more about this, but you know, to try to make up for the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene gets beaten over the head so much, and when she does something right, they really don't say much about it. What she did, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the pinata for the Democrats, the pinata for the leftists, because she's a very right of center and very outspoken, and she just says, first thing that pops into her head, she just says it. She really doesn't have much of a filter, but you know, she's the genuine, you know, Trump supporter, conservative, and they just try to take her down. So Marjorie Taylor Greene, well, she compared, you may remember the comments, you guys pay attention to the news, she said that the requirement to wear a face mask at the Capitol, you know, all these Congress people wearing a face mask and staff and the penalties and all that was, you know, reminded her or akin to the Holocaust. And, well, of course, it's ridiculous. You don't say stuff like that. You know what she did? She's up in D.C. I'm guessing some friends encouraged her. You know, why don't you go to the Holocaust Museum, which I would recommend that you do. Absolutely, you need to go. And you need, if your kids are mature and they start understanding life and the consequences of decisions and how the world works and how there's evil, yeah, you definitely need to take your kids there. Well, she went there. I guess she hadn't gone to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. She went. She said she made a mistake, and she said she was sorry, and she says her dad taught her to own up to her mistakes, and she said there's no comparison. She owned up to her mistake, and she said there's no comparison to the Holocaust and what she said. She was wrong in that. That's kind of like what we need on the border right now. We need Joe Biden to own up to his mistake. This whole this flurry of executive orders on the border telling Immigration Customs Enforcement to stop deporting everybody. Stop doing your job, ICE. Oh, okay, Mr. President, but we got some we got some rapists and some murderers and some Central America gang members, Mr. President. We kind of need to kick these guys out of the country because they just got out of the state pen and we don't want them in our country. No, executive order, Joe Biden says, ICE, you don't do your job. A pause to all deportations. How's that going to make our country secure? And then all these folks coming in, crossing the border, this whole, the Trump era catch and return, which is return to Mexico, no matter where they came from. Trump's people, Mr. Trump, they worked really hard to negotiate with Mexico City, AMLO, the president down in Central America, to have people, when they crossed the border illegally here, they were going to be returned immediately. Sent back to Mexico, especially during this COVID season, which now we're exiting. But he took advantage, properly took advantage and seized this opportunity to secure the border and send people back. Joe Biden got rid of that. Okay, you guys come on. You come with a kid. Come on. Oh, kids come along. And we got this flood. And people saw it. As soon as the election took place and they saw the trend, those numbers started going up. And now we're at 178,000 a month, 180,000. We might be at 200,000 this month. I don't know. We're on track as that cut at the beginning of the program that Ted Cruz saying we're going to hit like more than 2 million people crossing the border illegally. We need Joe Biden to own up. He's not going to do it. But this situation was not something that Kamala Harris would be able to solve unless Kamala Harris came here, looked at it, listened to some Democrat Party faithful like Henry Cuellar from Laredo, Texas. Vicente Chente with the liberal gente congressman from my neck of the woods here in McAllen. His district goes all the way up to the San Antonio area right now. It's going to probably look different after redistricting, but even these guys, they get the phone calls from cattle ranchers and farmers and people who have the hunting leases down here and have the ranch properties down here. The ones that are getting their properties all torn up, their fences all torn up. The cities like McAllen, Brownsville, dealing with flood of humanity coming across the border. And, you know, got Catholic Charities working overtime, trying to put new shoes and give people baths as they cross by the thousands every single week. Resources are being used at the local level. The jails are holding more individuals that are being arrested for related crime to illegal immigration. And speaking of jails, just a sidebar mention, we got a 1,000-person jail that's been cleared out south of San Antonio in Dilley, Texas, to hold illegal immigrants who start trespassing on private property. That's one thing the state of Texas is going to try here pretty soon. Texas trying to do something. But these Democrats on the border, they know what's going on, and they're trying to tell the Biden administration, no, and right now, you know what the desperate call is right now from Democrats on the border? This, I hope I say it right. I think it's Title 42, I believe. Anyway, it's the policy that at present allows our government to still return single individuals south of the border to Mexico when they cross. See, right now, it's families across illegally, they stay. Kids across illegally, they stay, and we're babysitting them now. They get into the system, foster care system, and we got people working overtime on federal payroll trying to connect them with a family already here. And like I told you yesterday, that family, those family members, they will not be prosecuted for putting these kids in danger. But right now, Title 42, pandemic-related, disease-related, precaution-related, that thing's going to be lifted pretty soon. And illegal immigrants who cross alone, they're going to be able to stay here pretty soon. This is a situation that could not be solved by Kamala Harris unless she took an invitation from the local congressman, the Democrats. Take a look at the mess that they created, admitted, owned up to it, like Marjorie Taylor Greene owned up to their mistake and told her boss, Mr. Biden, you know what Donald Trump was doing? You might want to go back to that. Just do it for the sake of allowing us time to breathe, allowing a time for a reset. And I don't know, maybe some of these border Democrats, very few people are saying maybe, like the Republicans have been saying for a long time, like the Trump administration have been saying. See, that's why they can't admit it, because even the Trump administration was saying, if you need to use the asylum request, the asylum mechanisms in our country, do so in your country of origin. Ask for help in your country. Go to a consulate, go to a U.S. embassy, and ask for help there. Not all the way up here, because we know what you're doing, coming all the way up here. You're crossing the border, swimming the river, crossing those fences in the southwest border. You put a foot on USO. We know you're gaming. You are gaming the asylum system, because you will not get a hearing, an initial asylum hearing for years. We know people are gaming that. And just for her to tell Joe Biden, hey, put a pause to it. Call it your own. Call it the Joe Biden catch and return. Or call it the Joe Biden reset. To do all that, they would have to admit Joe Biden made a mistake, and the mistake continues, and it's spiraling out of control. And what these Republican lawmakers are saying up in D.C., more power to you. Keep at it. Keep pounding those war drums. Kamala Harris, she's got to go, as borders are, period. I think that is a good message right now. You're listening to The Dana Show, broadcasting from her Southern Command in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez.
It's not weird to give dad underwear for Father's Day. It's an act of mercy. Give him an upgrade with new Tommy John underwear. Tommy John's are not some run-of-the-mill department store underwear. They're luxury that he'll enjoy every day. And all dads agree that when they're wearing Tommy John underwear, they're much more comfortable and they can do everything better. And that's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. Because with dozens of comfort innovations, once a dad tries Tommy John underwear, he's never going back. lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric with four times the stretch of competing brands. And there's no risk because he's always covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Visit TommyJohn.com/Dana for 20% off your first order today. Give him an upgrade with new Tommy John underwear. Tommy John's are not some run-of-the-mill department store underwear. They're luxury that he'll enjoy every day. Order by June 15th for delivery by Father's Day. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Dana. That's TommyJohn.com/Dana. See site for details.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
From the Dana Show Southern Command, right here on the border, the Texas-Mexican border. We're on blessed soil. We're in Texas still. It's McAllen, Texas, Brownsville, Rio Grande Valley. From the studios of KURV, proud affiliate. This is the Dana Show. If you want to say hi on the Twitter thing, it's at Sergio Talk. So I mentioned Texas Senator Ted Cruz earlier. You know, Ted's also in the news because, Senator Ted. He says, don't underestimate Matthew McConaughey, a Texas-based actor, award winner, Oscar winner. Matthew McConaughey, if you haven't heard, Matt McConaughey, he's been sticking his toe in the water, get a feel of, you know, what public reaction might be if he runs for Texas governor. I can't even tell you. And now, I'd be more surprised if he ran as a Republican in the primary, but I can't define for you whether he'd run as a Republican or a Democrat. All the Democrats seem that he's going to run on that side because, you know, he supported Democrat causes. He's an actor. I don't know. But Ted Cruz says, don't underestimate Matthew McConaughey. He said this in a radio interview. Senator Ted Cruz says that Matt McConaughey would be a formidable candidate. I got a few more thoughts on this. I'll express a little later on. I'm kind of in Ted Cruz camp on this one. I wouldn't be surprised either, knowing how ill-informed, misinformed, and poorly informed some individuals are, most of the electorate. All right, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Happy Juneteenth. It's officially a national holiday. Now, it's not news to me because Juneteenth links back to Galveston, Texas, you know, near Houston, and the Union ship showing up and announcing slavery is over, right? But now it's a federal holiday, so it left, I'm guessing, some banks and offices figuring out, oh, so do we give the day off, yes or no? Either way, anyone working today, which is the day it's observed, I'm guessing you guys get holiday pay, right? Well, congratulations. The Dana Show from South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez.
President Trump joins me to discuss the border crisis, the hopelessly biased media, and why Republican leaders like Mitch McConnell just don't get it and need to be replaced. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, you'll hear my extended one-on-one interview with President Donald Trump. He also shares why he believes Joe Biden is getting taken to the cleaners on the world stage and what he's planning for 2024. Subscribe to the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
It's hard for me as a reporter because I don't want to put foils in a bad light, right? Freedom of information laws are wonderful things, but it is, in fact, a tactic of national and just hyper and fast-growing local organizations to use onerous public records requests. So what we'll see, what we saw in Maine, is asking for all of these records requests of, you know, how much money did you spend on anything involving race? And then that is used to sort of frame, again, the school board as being, as paying for CRT, which again is just not the case.
My goodness, that's a national reporter there. I don't watch. It's been a long time since I've wasted any time actually watching a full newscast from NBC, ABC, or CBS. In fact, I've got them on here in the newsroom. Hey, welcome to the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. From South Texas or Southern Command. Dana, Lord bless you, friend. Hugging a kiss to you and Chris. Thanks for calling us again. So we're broadcasting from the Dana Show Southern Command today. And here, this is a news studio. We're a news affiliate, talk radio affiliate here in Deep South Texas. And I've got the TVs on in here. We got CBS, ABC, the cables, all that. We just see what they're talking about. I don't know. I was thinking this morning, I was thinking about making my coffee in that machine. And they've, and it's the ABC, the morning show on ABC. Look, I know they all need to kind of keep it light, mix it up a little bit. You can't be serious all the time. You got to talk about lifestyle stuff. They probably got, I'm thinking it's part of an effort to promote. Maybe it's part of a marketing campaign that was paid for. I don't know, but they had some musician talking about the musician's baby graduating from kindergarten or first grader. You don't graduate from kindergarten. My goodness. Graduate. Talk about dumbing some words out. Anyway, they, beautiful child, nice guy who's a musician, but it's top of the morning, national, international news. It's ABC News. And they went on and on and on about this this guy's kid and the graduating from school. It's so much pablum, and it's, and look, I know you got to keep it light, but my goodness, NBC, this lady you heard from here, Brandi Zendrosi, I believe. I apologize if I said the name wrong, but it really doesn't matter. See, there's a complete disconnect. This is a national reporter. See, I don't want to talk bad about FOIA. FOIA, Freedom of Information Act. It's what allows you as a citizen, and for us in the news business, is what we depend on to, you know, we got to go to county or city hall or the school district, and sometimes they'll stick a, you know, the elections office. So we would like a record of XYZ spending or the budget for a certain period or certain projects. And they'll make you fill out a FOIA request, a FOIA form. And sometimes they get really detailed over at county or at the elections office, like what's specifically what period, who's a politician. It depends. So for me in the business of news and information journalism, it's part of what we do is putting in FOIA requests. And you should discover this. This is why I keep telling you. Patriot, I know you're working for a living. I keep telling you, get your butts to the elections office, go work the elections, get trained, go work ballot board. Eventually you work long enough. And this is another thing you're going to learn about, FOIA requests, Freedom of Information requests. But what a disconnect from this national reporter at NBC. These are the, unfortunately, the sentinels that are sucking at their job. What a disconnect between this young woman and this young woman's man between what is a vital tool, necessary tool for her job and for citizens to hold their government accountable. And unbelievable what I heard. You know what she's defending? She's defending CRT. She's defending school districts and how they spend their money because it's through the FOIA request, like Dana did and friends up in North Texas. It was through the FOIA request. They're able to dig in there and find out what the school district, what curriculum they're spending their money on to find out if the poison that is CRT, critical race theory, has made it into their kids' classroom. You need to stick around a little later. I've got, I know Steve's got the shorter version of it, but he also has the complete version of a guy I'm going to call the dad. The dad, proud Black American, African American, father, doctor, taking a school district, taking the school board to town, saying, you're not going to feed this poison to my kids. It's hard work, friend. It really is hard work. You need to get in there. You need to get into school district, city hall, county, especially school district right now, to save our children, save our future, and save our kids from CRT. You got to get in there. And FOIA is one tool that you can use. And that NBC reporter has no idea how counterproductive, working against her own self-interest, working against liberty and freedom, how poisonous her words are, making the parents trying to defend their kids, protect their kids from CRT, how destructive that attitude is. Has no idea. All right, I got a few, you know, let me go back to Steve. Steve, I want to share with you a conversation. It was inspired by, and I know you've seen the video, friend, Northern California, San Francisco, some guy that's on a bicycle inside that Walgreens and has a big trash bag and puts a bunch of stuff in there, like just off the shelves, Walgreens in San Francisco. And then he just slowly rides out. I guess only one person touched him a little bit, but he just rides out like no police, no manager, nothing. It's like they've given up completely. Sad state of policing, law enforcement. exist in our country. So let me share with you a conversation I had with a retired police officer up in New York. Go ahead, Steve-O.
Joe Cardinale is a retired New York PD Lieutenant Commander. Joe, it's a pleasure speaking with you again. But I got you on the Dana Show today because I wanted to get a status report on what you see, what you hear as far as changes in the law enforcement landscape.
Thank you for having me again. Yeah. It's changing rapidly and not for the better, I'm afraid to say. These blanket statements concerning police officers and blanket policies that they're trying to enforce across the United States will not work. We see what's happening. Let's take New York, for example. We have a very diversified police department. We have so many units within our department. It's impressive, believe it or not. And when you have something like the terrorist unit and you have the cyber units, they need to do their job. But when you deplete the force and you have to take from these units to go out and supplement other areas, it takes, you know, it takes a big toll on the police departments. And I'm sure New York is not the only one feeling it. So this whole defunding process that's going nationwide, it's taking its toll. The criminals see it. They see it internationally. They see it nationally. And the criminals are taking advantage of this moment to up their game. And our game is being downplayed by politicians that really don't know anything.
How do we turn the corner, Joe? What needs to happen?
We need to elect the officials that are going to make that cohesive bond between the police department and the community. You know, sir, I don't care if you're in New York or you're in McAllen, Texas, or you're in San Diego. The communities all want the same thing. They want their police departments to protect them. All right. They all want the same thing. But these politicians are taking it away from them. And it's not by their choice. It's by the politicians' whim of a few individuals, not the majority. It's the immoral majority, I say, that is benefiting from this. So we need to step up to the plate. And I don't care if, you know, the Democrats will stick to one thing and stay with it, and that's it. Republicans will cross the line when they have to and go across the other side and get things done. But when you have hordes of Democratic voters just voting for somebody because they have a D after their name, that's wrong, because that individual may not serve your needs at all. So you need to really look into who you're voting for these days and get the right people in office that are going to make the difference and rebuild the first line of defense in this country, which is law enforcement.
And that's so, at the local level. That's a city hall. People, you keep voting the wrong people to city hall, you deserve the government that you have, like in Oregon, Washington State, Northern California. I'm reminded of the video, Joe. I don't know if you saw it a few days back. This guy in a bicycle inside of Walgreens with a big trash bag. He just put a whole bunch of merchandise, whatever. He just filled up that bag, and somebody like touched him just a little bit, like a customer, like, hey, what are you doing? The guy just kind of rode out real slowly. No business owners, managers, they don't do anything. Police department, it seems like they never prosecute stuff like this. It's like in some corners of our country, folks have just given up. They've expect petty crime, thievery, just to be commonplace. And unless at the local level people change, people at City Hall and enforce law, this rot is going to continue in our society.
Absolutely. And I saw that video, and it's disgusting that they would allow somebody just to do that. And that just goes to further my point of how the criminals are so emboldened to do something like that. And this whole thing, and I could speak for New York, all right? We have the governor election will be coming up and the mayoral election. We need to put somebody in there. I'll say it, Lee Zeldin, all right? He's the choice right now, you know, to make the difference here in New York. And why? Because bail reform, not only in New York, but it trickled across the United States. But in New York, it was snuck in right in the middle of the night, you know, like, let's do this. And the New Yorkers woke up to bail reform.
You know what? Let's define that, because the show is across the country in many sectors. And now people are working for – people listen to the Dana Show. They work for a living. The whole issue of bail reform is like, what is that? Here's the gist of it, and correct me if I'm wrong. Bail reform, because I know they tried an incubator of this up in Houston, and it's failed miserably here in Texas, and they're pushing back. In essence, small crime or smaller crime, if it's not a felony, we'll just kind of rotate you out real quick and put you back on the street on a signature bond. And that has led to an exponential growth in crime, at least in Houston and other communities, and people need to push back against this so-called bail reform, trying to get people out of jail. There seem to be no consequences anymore, even smaller crime.
And it starts with the smaller crime. You nailed it with your description of bail reform. All right. In New Jersey, one of the components was that the judges had to say so of, you know, like if it was a violent offender. But in New York, they took that away. So you have violent offenders that are being, before the paperwork is even finished, before the ink's even dry on the page, all right, before the officer's done with his job, this individual is out committing a crime as the police officer is still doing paperwork. He's out there committing the crime. So,
my goodness.
You know, the funny thing is, you know, you ask any one of these politicians, make it a referendum at an election.
Yeah.
And see if the people, that'll tell you where your community stands and if you're in the right community. So if you're over there, do you want bail reform? Do you want these criminals out? If it was a referendum, I can guarantee you nobody wants
that. Absolutely.
Right? So you need that. You need that nationwide. And it's time for, you know, your listeners to step up to the plate. But you know what? This radio station's got great listeners, and across the United States, with you know, a lot of these stations that actually put it out there. But when it's held back by the far left stations, all right, that really don't want them to know what's happening out there, they're like a bunch of lemmings. They'll just follow
mass
them right
media,
off the cliff.
Yeah, the so-called mainstream mass media and big tech. It's a real disservice to our country what they're doing in withholding this
Absolutely.
Information and not talking about it. You and I talked about recruitment in the past as well. It's kind of scary, the trend. Early retirement, and on the recruitment side, I'm not hearing good things in some sectors.
Recruitment in New York is almost an impossible task right now. And the scary part is when you do finally get somebody that will take the test to take the job, it's going to be the bottom of the barrel. They're going to rush through investigations, background investigations, and you're going to wind up with more criminals on the job. And then those criminals in return are going to do something that's going to make the police department look bad. So it's a very serious situation right now. And once again, the indemnification process that was there to protect police officers has been taken away. So who in their right mind would take a job where they'll possibly put you in jail, take away your home, take away your family, your livelihood, all because you made a split-second decision that you're trained to make that nobody else has the guts to make, all right? And they Monday morning quarterback you all the time. Who wants that job? You take those components and put them back into policing saying, listen, we have your back. You do your job the way you're trained to do it, and you do it in a manner that's, you know, law enforcement, that's good law enforcement. We'll take you back every time. Then you'll see everybody coming back to law enforcement. There's so many that want to take the test, and everybody says, listen, you really have to think twice before you do it under these conditions.
Yeah.
So we need to change these conditions.
And parents, you need to speak with your kids. At one time, kids used to dream of becoming police officers. And with this, all this negative press, they make police out to be the enemy. We've got a generation of young children that have been taught a lie about police officers, and they're afraid of police officers. And police need to engage these kids at school as well. So you get patriots, you need to get into City Hall. They like the right people, law and order people. And at county, your district attorneys, if you like those people, that's what you need to do. Joe, as always, a pleasure. You be safe, brother.
You too, and have a great Father's Day.
Likewise, friend. Joe Cardinale, retired NYPD Lieutenant Commander. And a big thank you to all the good people in law enforcement, whether it's Border Patrol here on the U.S.-Mexican border, you guys at ICE, sitting on your hands. I don't know what you guys are doing at ICE. Police, you guys on patrol, sheriffs, including, in fact, thanks, Kane. They're working some suspicious package situation. They got some roads shut down near the CIA HQ in Virginia right now. Some of the breaking news they're covering up northeast. From her Southern Command in South Texas, you're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez.
This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friend interns at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep, you are. You're welcome. Listen, follow, subscribe.
After the show, anytime, the Dana Show, you can take in all the interviews, conversations, all the monologue, all that stuff. Producer Steve, he does a great job and condenses all the audio from the Dana Show and puts it on danaradio.com, danaradio.com. Take in the podcast, and I find myself listening to Dana and other friends. That's how I spend my time. That's because I'm a news junkie like you, news and information junkie, and I'm constantly taking in information and other institutions and academic stuff. I always have those headphones in my ear. So danaradio.com, catch the podcast, and it's the condensed version, and it's nothing but content, or the stream of content. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash this week. Thank you, Dana. Love you, my friend. Hug and a kiss to you and Chris and even Kane. Kane, I hope you feel better, my brother. One of the reasons that Kamala Harris, a.k.a. the border czar, that is MIA, again, Republicans, you guys should be calling for her ouster. You guys should be calling for her to be fired as border czar. The mess is awful down here, and it's deadly. I saw this story from New Mexico, which reminds me every single day they're dying out there. And we will not find out who dies today in the desert Southwest or in ranch country here in South Texas for many months. And in some cases, some of these people disappear forever. It's a deadly situation. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris are contributing to all this death and mayhem on the border from New Mexico. This is just one of, could be potentially weeks and weeks of stories about people dying in the desert Southwest. Two illegal immigrants found dead near the U.S. border. 35-year-old Mexican woman found dead near the desert foothills. They found another migrant dead near a school outside. People overcome by the heat. And here in the Southwest, well, here in South Texas, in these counties, like 60 miles between McAllen, Brownsville, and Corpus Christi, easily 60-plus miles. That's a long way to walk in the southern heat, 100-plus degree heat every single day. In the desert Southwest, it's even hotter down there. It's deadly. And Joe Biden encouraging, creating this magnet, bringing these people up here, he is responsible for these deaths. Who's going to say that? Come on, you guys need to say that on the Republican side. From Southern Command in South Texas, this is The Dana Show.
Now more than ever, it's vital to support companies and organizations that share your values. And Patriot Mobile is calling all patriots. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. Bring your own phone and you'll get 50% off your first 2 months plus a free Patriot starter kit. And for a limited time, enter the Be a Patriot promotion to win a free phone and cellular service for life. Simply donate to one of Patriot Mobile's participating charities. Send in your thoughts on what it means to be a Patriot, or switch your service to a Patriot Mobile plan. With the broadest nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and great multi-line discounts. Switching is easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Get the discount, free starter kit, and enter the Be a Patriot promotion for a chance to win using the offer code DANA. A full list of rules is available at patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
This day doesn't just celebrate the past. It calls for action today. I wish all Americans a happy Juneteenth. I'm certainly going to sign into the law, making it a federal holiday. And I have to say to you, I've only been president for several months. But I think this will go down for me as one of the greatest honors I will have had as president, not because I did it, you did it.
Jubilee Day, Freedom Day, Day of Liberation, Emancipation Day. That's President Joe Biden signing into law yesterday, the whole Juneteenth proclamation, declaration that the 19th of June will be a federal holiday from now on. So that'd be tomorrow. So today is Juneteenth. Happy Juneteenth Day. I'm very familiar with this because, after all, this is the Dana Show broadcasting from Texas, from South Texas, her Southern Command. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Thank you, Dana, for the call this week. It's been an honor filling in for you, friend. I hope you get some rest. Lord willing, Dana will be back with us on Monday, and we're going to be onboarding a whole bunch of brand new stations for the Dana Show on Monday. So with the stroke of a pen yesterday, President Joe Biden probably sent the whole bunch of people in human resources in a tailspin late yesterday afternoon and say, wait, he just signed it. See, as soon as that pen goes to paper, he puts a signature on it. Oh, there it goes. It's law. It's the law of the land. And we got a new federal holiday that was supposed to kick in within less than 12 hours. So today, on the 18th, it's the day that we observe Juneteenth for Texas. Again, I've known this all my, you know, growing up as a Texas kid in high school. I mean, learning Texas history in high school. Galveston, Texas, it's, you know, the end of the Civil War. We didn't find out for months and months and months here in Texas. We had to wait for a Union ship to finally show up and tell all the slaves, the guys, the North won the Emancipation Proclamation. Yeah, you guys are free. No such thing as slaves anymore in the state of Texas. So you can just imagine the rightfully, you know, christened Jubilee Day and, you know, Freedom Day, Liberation Day, Emancipation Day. I would play the cut from Kamala Harris, Steve. I appreciate you doing all the work on the audio, but Lord bless you, I don't want to hear her voice. So we'll leave it at that. She was making reference to that. So we're celebrating the fact that, I guess, the one of the final holdout, or maybe the final holdout, as far as communities, it took some time for the message to travel across America that the North hath won, that the slaves had been emancipated, that slavery was over. It took some time for that message to get across the nation. But as the terms that we've used here in Texas before, and now this being a national holiday, Jubilee Day, Freedom Day, Liberation Day, that is a moment to celebrate more than just the end of slavery. But by extension, let me latch on to this celebration to celebrate the goodness of our nation. Let me share. Here's the North Carolina story I saw a moment back. State Board of Education in North Carolina, they are moving toward adopting new social studies standards. Look, I know public education in our country. You guys who teach, this is not a slam against hardworking teachers, especially those of y'all who have a passion and you just dive into your profession and your calling of being an educator and shaping and molding and caring for young minds for their sake and for our community's sake. And because you probably also have kids of your own. Lord bless all of y'all who are good teachers, passionate and caring, and who have not given up on your kids. Unfortunately, I believe sometimes that those type of teachers are in the minority. I hope it's a big minority. I hope it's not a small minority. But I'm not talking about the teachers. And I say this because I ask, what's wrong with current social studies in our country, aside from the fact that we don't emphasize the fruits of liberty? We do not understand the American Constitution. We do not understand Judeo-Christian values, common law. We do not, the Magna Carta. We do not understand the roots of our liberty codified in our Constitution. We don't understand, our children don't. You probably, as a businessman and as a flag-waving patriot, you probably needed to invest some time to go learn it on your own, like I did more than two decades ago, bit by bit, learning more. Said, look, I had good history teachers. I studied Texas history. We did not emphasize our Constitution enough. I did not understand the concept of truly understand the the origins of my liberty as an American. Where does it come from? A king, an agency, a department, state government, county? No, it comes from my creator. Or for some of y'all who still refuse to believe that you're akin to a miracle, a Rolex watch that the universe has produced. Well, okay, well, fine with that. But nature itself, a creator, and the nature and the creator of nature, your liberty, your life, your liberty, and the opportunity for you to amass wealth, to exercise the gray matter between your ears and the muscle that you have, to attain property. That's not given to you by a state agency, by a government agency, federal or king, monarchy. No, that's from your creator. That's from nature itself. All these concepts we don't understand. Aside from in junior high school and high school, all of our children as Americans not understanding and studying that, what's wrong with the current system? Because in North Carolina, they're moving towards CRT. They want to, it's bad enough. We're not teaching our children our Constitution. And now we're making things worse by overemphasizing all the negative. Today, of all days, Juneteenth, this day that we celebrate this new federal holiday, which, by the way, John Cornyn, a Texas Republican, Judge Cornyn, he was one of the driving forces. He's been doing it for years trying to get this thing passed, and now it's here. It's a celebration more of freedom and liberty and the end of slavery. It's a celebration of our nation, the goodness of our nation. We're not perfect. We can never be perfect. We're human beings. We will never be perfect. We will always be flawed. And we're not angels. And because we're not angels, yeah, we kind of need to create a reliable and try to create a good government. But there's goodness in American culture. And Juneteenth is an expression of that. Because this liberty slowly spread across the nation. And on June 19th, on a day like this, well, today we observe it. The slaves in Texas found out, at least in Galveston, probably took several horse rides across the state of Texas to tell everybody, hey, the slaves are free. We already learned about the Civil War. I remember plenty of lessons on the Civil War. And I was a long time ago, I was in high school. I'm not going to tell you how long ago, but you guys are probably my age. You're already midstream in life. We learned plenty about the Civil War, about the civil rights movement. But what is taking place right now, for example, North Carolina, it seems like they want to overemphasize all the negative. This is CRT. This is critical race theory sticking its nose. It's the CRT camel sticking its nose in the tent, wanted to get in there, overemphasizing the negative. We already know plenty. Trail of Tears. We know about Manifest Destiny. We know about the Civil War. How about overemphasizing the fact that hundreds and hundreds of thousands of young men in the North and in the South, they died on the battlefield. There is no need for reparations in this country. This blessed country, the United States of America, its culture of liberty finally was able to deliver over a war and a civil rights movement. It was finally able to deliver the promise of liberty, the equality of all men, all human beings. It took a while, but it was a promise. It was made at the beginning, and we're finally able to deliver. Juneteenth is a celebration of America, and instead of emphasizing everything that is negative about slavery and just pound, 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 that social studies in our country, wherever you're from, I suspect you got a good dose of Civil War. You got a good dose of the civil rights movement. But now in North Carolina, they're bending the knee. They've fallen asleep. But they need to fight this in North Carolina. North Carolina voting in favor of adopting new social studies standards. Unless I'm reading this wrong, they're trying to put in place a guide for teachers on how to talk about race and discrimination. There's a superintendent there said that these documents will not be mandatory as far as a way of teaching. Going to be a guide for gaining more perspective in the classroom. We don't need to be wasting time in the classroom talking about Black Lives Matter. late night television, YouTube, and the mainstream, they do plenty in giving them free airtime. We don't need to talk about reparations in the classroom. We don't need to constantly consume the precious workday and classroom day, wasting time talking all day about slavery. We learned that plenty in curriculum that teaches about the Civil War, the discrimination and the hatred and the vile racism that had to be overcome. So we're still overcoming that. It's that flaw is still inside many of us in our hearts. It's part of the human failing and shortcomings. The Civil War, the efforts after the Civil War to try Martin Luther King Jr. And the Civil Rights Movement, what is taking place right now in overemphasizing slavery and racism is an insult to what Martin Luther King Jr. tried to do. Where's that cut? I'm sorry, Steve. I need to shut up. Joy Reid, cut 10. Steve, we'll play that before we go to break. I'll mention that real quick. Go ahead.
Well, Juneteenth will now be commemorated nationwide. There's a catch. In some red states, it could soon be illegal to teach what the holiday is all about. That's because Republican state legislatures in a dozen states are now aiming to dictate how historical and modern racism in America are taught. That includes the state of Texas, where Juneteenth was first celebrated.
No.
Governor Abbott signed a law this week intended to ban critical race theory from being taught in public schools, even though it's not being taught.
Joy Reid from MSN. Joy Reid, why don't you read and try to explain honestly what critical race theory is? Whites are the oppressors, but non-whites are always oppressed. Doesn't matter. Forever and for all time, whites are the oppressors. The non-whites, anybody with a little bit more melanin in their skin, there will always be the oppressed. That's racism. No, that's what we're going after in Texas and in other states. We don't need more talk about racism and Black Lives Matter and slavery in the classroom. We get plenty of it. This country paid for racism with the blood of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of young men in the battlefield. And Juneteenth is a celebration of the goodness in our country, where we work toward correcting course and making things better in our nation. That's the perspective that we need to be taking. My goodness, it's Joy Reid. How someone so highly educated becomes so darn stupid. My goodness. 20 minutes after the hour, you're listening to The Dana Show from her Southern Command in South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You can join the conversation at 844-344-DANA.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
Something's happening in our society that prevents them from ascending to the highest office in the land. The same is true for African Americans. The same is true for Latinos and the first Americans, Native Americans. The odds are stacked in ways that prevent a lot of young people from realizing their potential.
What a liar. My goodness. You are a liar, sir. Oh, my goodness. I was just reminded why I would never want to meet this guy. You know, I was telling you earlier in the week, welcome to the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. I was telling you earlier in the week how disappointed through the years, especially of late, George W. Bush. My goodness, I can't believe I actually considered putting in an application to go work for his campaign a long, long time ago. But as I said earlier, G.W. Obama and same book. I don't want to meet these guys. I want to see them again. No, that little comment from Mr. Obama just reminded me, sir, you are a liar. You have no idea. What a disservice to our children. What a disservice to our country. Keeping our kids dumb. Barack Obama, he could have been a great uniter, could have been a great president. It turned out to be the great divider. All these riots, all the perpetuation, all these stereotypes and the racist ideas. They need that in the Democrat Party. They need that racism, the division, the victimhood mentality, creating their voting base. The little guy against the evil rich CEO of the company, the minority against the oppressive white man. The people of color, always targeted by police. These are flawed, evil, oppressive ideas. The oppressor is you, Mr. Obama. you with your big following, that's a disservice to our country and our children. All those words, all those lies that you just said, you can make it in America. Absolutely. That's why they're coming here, crossing the border illegally by the thousands because of the opportunity in this country. Okay, Steve, some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
All right, lighten it up a little bit. Some other headlines. Tamagotchi. Remember Tamagotchi, a little keychain game thing. The fad electronic pet from the 1990s. It's back, and it's back on the smartwatches. 25th anniversary of the original little Bandai games. It's a feature on the smartwatches now. And Snapchat is removing a controversial speed filter that's linked to deadly highway crashes, they say. From South Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.
Dana gives you the meat and potatoes news of the day. None of that tofu news. More like bacon with a side of hash browns news. The news you want, the way you want it. The Dana Show.
The Supreme Court this fall will review a Mississippi law that bans most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Is an unborn baby at 15 weeks a human being?
Let me just say that I am a big supporter of Roe v. Wade. I am a mother of five children in 6 years. I think I have some standing on this issue as to respecting a woman's right to choose.
Is it a human being?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes, ma'am.
Is a 15-week-old unborn child a child? Is a 15-week-old a human being? Spin. Let's see. Where do I go? Oh, yeah. Let's go back to the whole standard play. And it's not, you know, they won't. And I'm wondering if Nancy Pelosi is going to be refused communion, because after all, she's a good Catholic, right? Well, Speaker Pelosi, you were there once. So were you less human at 15 weeks than you are now? We were all there once, and we're here now. So what right does Nancy Pelosi, does anyone for that matter, what right does another human being have to declare someone else who is at that stage of development a non-human, to deny that individual, a female, a male, and it could be only those two? Now, that person may wrestle with issues later in life, but what right does Nancy Pelosi have? What right does anyone have? And saying that, because Nancy Pelosi, you were there at 15 weeks. I was there at 15 weeks. We all were. It's human. It's a human being with a right to life, as you know, in the preamble leading up to, you know, the code that is our Constitution, and the right of understanding that life, liberty, happiness, or property. Well, that does not come from a king or a government. It comes from a creator or nature, or the creator of nature. No. At 15 weeks, we were all there. Hence, we're all human and we have a right to life. And it's, for me, it's very, very black and white. And at best, we become what? The mother. And in this world that she comes from, in this universe that she comes from, in this anti-life, anti-Catholic, anti-Christian universe, this mindset that Nancy Pelosi lives in, along with her radical leftists who approve, don't even blink at this idea that they sanction, they support murder, the murder of children, the murder of the unborn and the helpless. We were all there at 15 weeks, all of us, including Nancy Pelosi. I guess the follow-up question would have been, so were you less human at 15 weeks than you are now? So who should have had a right to allow, you know, to say that you are no longer a human being? No one does. No one does. Right to life. Right to life. Anyway, just some of the audio that's in the news today. Heads up to all the gang on the Gulf Coast, Louisiana. I guess it's where you guys might see some rain. There's a tropical storm warning. Louisiana to Alabama, over to Florida, you guys might be seeing a little bit of rain. I don't know. I think the next tropical cyclone, if it actually congeals enough in the Gulf of Mexico. We've got a bunch of clouds out there, but if it congeals it, I think it's Claudette, the next one, and might be a rainmaker. Doesn't seem like it's going to be a very big storm for the Gulf of Mexico, for, you know, Florida, especially Louisiana. You guys might get that. I saw this poll. Oh, and by the way, stick around. I got Florida Man. Did I introduce the segment? I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is the Dana Show from her Southern Command in South Texas. Thank you, Dana, for calling us. Stick around because I got Florida Man towards the end of this hour. And the audio that I'm going to refer to as the American Dad. And Lord bless him. He's probably rolling through cyberspace right now. He's a dad, a doctor, a proud black man, African-American, Dr. Dad. He went in front of a school board. And he took him to town. He ripped to shreds the idea of critical race theory. Whites, the oppressors, the more melanin-containing-skinned individuals, you know, anyone who is a person of color, always the oppressed. He took them to school. And anyway, I'm going to play the full audio because he was only given 5 minutes by the school board to speak. And some people were clapping. Some you can tell they were all in support of what he had to say. Again, this highly educated doctor, dad, black American, telling the school board, you guys are nuts for adopting this racist idea, critical race theory, the CRT. I don't want my children learning into that. I refer to him as the American Dad. And what he said is what you need to watch out for at your local school district. Like Dana did all the heavy lifting with neighbors and friends in North Texas. Of all places, Texas, right? Texas. This poison is everywhere. Is it in your school district? You need to use the Freedom of Information Act to see what they're spending on as far as curriculum. And sit down a little activist committee. You guys need to start looking at what type of education, especially on the social studies side, what is being pushed. Anyway, the American Dad. I'm going to play the full audio of those less than 5 minutes he was able to speak to him because he got plenty of people clapping for him. Oh, and towards the end of that audio, I want you to listen to, I think it's somebody on the school board. It's got to be. Was saying to this guy, because he got all passionate. I mean, if stuff like this doesn't stir and well a passion in you to do something to save America, I don't know what else. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And it's not because for my lack of passion for these things. I got kids too. And you got kids, you got grandkids. We have to get into school boards across the nation. You guys need to get in there. Do a Freedom of Information request. Ask for what the curriculum, as social studies, what is being bought, what is being taught to our children? Is it critical race theory based? The whites, the oppressors, anything that looks like overemphasizing racism, emphasizing Black Lives Matter, and making folks, you know, people of color, making them always the oppressed. I saw this poll, and this poll also kind of scares me, but I don't know if I'm hoping that this Go Banking Rates poll that is in the news today is more of a industry activist, self-serving type of poll, but I grabbed it from the news pile. I thought I'd share it with you because if it's even close to being true, marginally close to being true, I think it's a sad statement of where we might be as an American society. Because according to this Go Banking Rates poll, they say that 52% of Americans support blanket student loan forgiveness for all borrowers. I refuse to believe that that's true. Again, I'm just going to believe that this is a banking financial institution, a pro-banking financial institution, you know, industry type of poll, and the numbers are skewed. I refuse to believe that even a slim majority of Americans support blanket student loan forgiveness. I refuse to believe that the American people are that downright stupid. Seriously. I know mean, I can look at, back at the last election and how people were blinded by hate. They were not looking at any issues whatsoever. They were not looking at what was good for themselves, their country, their own jobs. It is possible. I mean, but I still refuse. I choose to believe in the goodness of our country and our fellow patriots and Americans. I choose to believe that we're better than this. This poll says that 52% of Americans support blanket student loan forgiveness. Here I am trying to teach my boys, and just like you are. If you're anything like me, Dana, and all these people, we're trying to teach our kids that you make a decision, there's consequences, good and bad. Whatever it is that you do, you decide on something, you will receive the fruits of it. Bad or good, there's consequences. 52% of Americans say that they support blanket forgiveness of all student loans. What about individuals who went to school and paid out of pocket for their college education and got their degrees? What, they're going to get a refund? Oh, no, we can't have that. Well, but it's the student debt that's weighing down all these individuals from advancing. Well, they made their bed. They need to sleep on that bed. They got to sleep in it, too. They made a decision to amass all this debt for some irrelevant degree. I don't know, advanced jazz dance and basket weaving. I don't know. They chose that. Now they have to find a way to make money like everybody else. And what about other things like folks who's paid out of their pocket to run machinery, or they became welders, or they became HVAC technicians, you know, fixing air conditioner systems, or electricians or plumbers, these trades that we desperately need more of in our country right now? What are they going to get refunds too for their technical college education? No. They're not advocating for that. I refuse to believe that our country is that stupid right now. Then looking back at the last election, I just don't know. All right. So let me play for you. Let me see. What's his name? His name is Ty Smith. He's from Illinois, Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. He went before his school district. He's a proud American dad, and he's pushing back against critical race theory. And what he says here, what he does here, this, I hope and pray, this coming fall is repeated across the land at school districts all across this country. Go ahead, Steve.
You talk about critical race theory, which is pretty much going to be teaching kids how to hate each other, how to dislike each other. It's pretty much what it's going to all come down to. You're going to deliberately teach kids, this white kid right here got it better than you because he white? You're going to purposely tell a white kid, oh, the black people are all down and suppressed. How do I have two medical degrees if I'm sitting here oppressed? How do I get, first of all, time up, because I only got 5 minutes now, 5 minutes. Two medical degrees, no mom, no dad in the house, worked my way through college, sat there and hustled my butt off to get through college. You going to tell me somebody that looked like all y'all white folks kept me from doing that? Are you serious? Not one white person ever came to me and said, well, son, you're never going to be able to get nowhere because you know the black people. But guess what? What's sickening about this whole thing is what y'all doing right now is already something I do in my community right now to speak out against stuff, because black folks are getting told by other black folks, oh, you know you ain't going to be able to do nothing out there in the world because them white folks ain't going to let you get nowhere. Oh, you know you're not going to be able to do it because you know, the white man going to keep you down. Well, how did I get where I am right now if some white man kept me down? How am I now directing over folks that look just like you guys in this room right now? How? What kept me down? What oppressed me? I worked for myself from off the streets to where I am right now. You gonna sit here and tell me this lie of critical race theory? Of this the reason why black folks can't get ahead because of white folks? Are you kidding me? This is what we come to now. I can't believe we're even talking about this right now. The last thing I'm gonna say right here is something that's crazy. Martin Luther King said he wanted his kids to grow up in a world where they are judged by the contents of their what?
Their character,
not their skin. If they let this stuff go on right now, it is absolutely doing the complete reverse of what he's doing. So when February comes, don't talk about Martin Luther King. When February comes, don't talk about Black History Month. Y'all gonna sit there and just pretty much pee on his grave with this nonsense? That's exactly what's about to happen. Lastly, we are talking about our kids. We are talking about our children. What's so sickening about me, I love the Discovery Channel. You will see that on the Discovery Channel, animals will put their lives on the line to protect their children from danger. Nobody want to get to the heart of the matter, get to the meat of the matter, get to the moral of the story. It all comes down to it. The person that's going to be suffering from this, the one that's going to be hurt from this, is the kids. 10 years from now, if this stuff goes on, whose fault is it going to be? Whose fault is it going to be? Who are we going to look back on and blame for this? Because this is stuff we're talking about right now. This stuff is going on right now. I do this stuff on a daily basis. I'm in the hood. I'm in the communities. I'm out there with folks in their face. I've been doing stuff since I was 18 years old, talking to black folks. And you know what? None of them are buying this nonsense. None of them are. But if you want to implement this into the school system, I guarantee you to the day that I die, I'm going to be the very person right there debunking stuff, tearing stuff down, letting them know they can do exactly what I did and get exactly where I am by putting themselves to work and getting there. And ain't not one white person ever going to keep any of them from getting there. So the CRT stuff, BS.
Steve, I got to ask you a favor. Are you able to play the last 10 seconds of that audio? Okay, like go back, just cue it all the way to the last 10 seconds. I want you to listen carefully because he's passionate. I know you are as well. I am. They're coming to this country by the hundreds of thousands crossing illegally because they, who don't live in this country, understand, they get it. We are the shining city on a hill. We are a nation of goodness. We're constantly working to perfect our nation. There is opportunity in this land. And if that doesn't well and stir emotion in you, you are culturally dead. You don't get it. Listen to the last 10 seconds. I bet you that was a school board member. You can hear after the doctor is passionately making his case, you hear in the back, don't scream. Don't scream. That person doesn't get it. Play the last 10 seconds if you can, Steve.
Debunking stuff, tearing stuff down, letting them know they can do exactly what I did and get exactly where I am by putting themselves to work and getting there. And ain't not one white person ever going to keep any of them from getting there. So the CRT stuff, BS.
Oh, there's no hope for people like that. From her Southern Command in South Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez, and this is The Dana Show.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec.
As always, an honor that you join us on The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, in for my friend Dana Lash this week. If you want to say hi on, as Dana says, the Twitters, it's at Sergio Talk, and Facebook. Yeah, we all have to do the Twitter, Facebook thing because it's pretty much where it seems where everybody, they go, everybody waking up in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, they was checking their feed, what was going on. So on Facebook, Sergio Sanchez, I've got a couple of portholes, a little circles that say something about cystic fibrosis. I got Florida Man coming up in just mere moments. Meantime, I want to mention this. Have you guys, in driving by your car dealerships, have y'all noticed that it's the inventory's thinning out quite a bit, right? It seems like everywhere. Inventory is thinning out. The computer chip shortage. I mentioned that I've been trying to keep up with some local clients and friends that are selling cars and here in Deep South Texas, but I know the problem is all over the place. The computer chip shortage, and there was a headline that Subaru is shutting down some plants next month because of the continuing shortage of computer chips that, and it seems like these vehicles, all these new vehicles, they've got multiple computer chips, like up to a dozen, I think, different systems in there. So anyway, just an observation on that. I hope they get the supply chain fixed here pretty soon. All right, Steve, well, let's do some Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
20-year-old Alexander Jarek in custody. Delray Beach police taking him into custody. He took his truck. Went over a crosswalk, an artistic crosswalk that was meant to celebrate the LGBTQ community during this month of June. Somebody paid $16,000 for that crosswalk, that arts crosswalk. He took his truck and he floored it, man. He put skids, truck skids all over that. He's still in jail. From South Texas, this is The Dana Show.
He needs to step out and start doing some press conferences. Let the American people know that he's representing all of us. And you can tell right now, everything's staged. Everything behind the scenes is already charted. There's nothing out there that, you know, we can just, you know, anybody can just ask a question, hey, what are we doing here? And again, it's all about leadership. We don't have leadership right now. We're being led by people from behind the scenes, and American people are going to lose confidence. We're just in the first 5 months of this presidency. It's going to get worse.
Yeah, and Lord save us from an actual event that would require, you know, what they said, the 3 o'clock in the morning phone call. and try to roust this guy up from his, you know, his slumber, or his, you know, Ambien fueled sleep, try to get him up to make a quick decision on what to do, protect ourselves, save our country, fire back. I don't know. There's a power vacuum up in D.C. That was Senator Tommy Tuberville from Alabama. I believe he's from Alabama. Yeah, the leadership vacuum that exists in Washington, D.C. I've said this before. In fact, I said that thing some days back when I filled in for Dana. Not exactly. It's like you don't have very good options right now. You got grandpa, great-grandpa, who's only up for maybe 3-4 hours a day. And I don't know what they're injecting in him to stay awake. You know, he'll eat his cottage cheese and peas and peaches, cottage cheese and peaches at the end of the day and go to sleep early. But bedtime probably at 8 o'clock. They put a lid on any conversations with him pretty early. It's either that or Kamala Harris. Seriously, friend, you think Joe Biden, just looking at his present physical state and mental state, there was a call from somebody, I don't know who it was, but I saw that in the news, saying we need mental agility, mental exams of our top leadership, especially now more than ever. Hey, Donald Trump was subjected to it. They kept saying, Donald, you take it. He passed with flying colors. But if we cared, if you guys on the left, you guys were honest enough and you said you care for our country, you care for our survival as a nation, you care for our place in the world, how we are seen and what our role is. And with all these enemies that we have on this planet, enemies and frenemies, to have a true leader to respond at the drop of a hat, make a quick decision. He is the executive. That is how the executive branch works in this country. You know, we're not, you know, Congress is running everything by committee, but the executive, he is the face, he is the voice, he is the commander in chief. He makes a quick split decision on how to respond when necessary. He is the top diplomat. He's the top decision maker. And this dude, it seems many times that he doesn't have two brain cells to rub with, you know, with each other. It's kind of scary. Anyway, Matthew McConaughey and Texas Senator Ted Cruz in the news because Texas Senator Ted Cruz said in an interview that Matthew McConaughey might actually have a shot at becoming governor of Texas. And like I told you last hour of the show, oh, by the way, did I introduce myself this hour? This is the Dana Show. No, I'm not Dana. Nowhere close to being Dana, either on the radio or in the looks department. But I'm just blessed to be friends with Dana. And for some reason, she decides to give me the radio show baby. And here I am, babysitter this week. Thank you, Dana. Love you, friend. And it's been a real pleasure filling in for Dana this week. And if you'd like to say hi, it's at Sergio Talk. That's the Twitter thing. We still have to do the Twitter thing. Someday soon we'll get a good competition for the big text. But you guys hang on. Mr. President, Donald Trump, you guys, you're still working on it, right? You're going to give us a competition for Twitter and Facebook here pretty soon so we can offboard and go over there. Anyway, Matthew McConaughey and Ted Cruz in the news. Ted Cruz says that Matthew McConaughey, how do you say his name? I don't know. It's, you know, he's an Oscar award-winning actor. He's makes his home in Austin, Texas. Nice guy. One of my favorite actors. I like that guy. I like the roles that he plays. Governor in Texas. I don't know. I don't even know what he stands for. I mean, do you? I mean, does anybody? I pay attention to the news. What does he stand for? Where does he stand on Second Amendment issues? Where does he stand on, you know, taxation issues, you know, property rights, local taxing authorities that keep increasing the tax rate? You know, they got county leadership saying, yeah, we're holding the tax rate steady. I'm just giving you examples for Texas. We're holding the tax rate steady, but we got the appraisal people. They're just jacking the price up of everything. Oh, you got your property's worth 20% more this year than it was last year. What? Like, where does he stand on all these key issues, relevant issues for voters in Texas? I don't know. Now, I get what Ted Cruz is trying to say about Matthew McConaughey. And again, the reason that this is in the news is because if you haven't heard, Matthew McConaughey, Austin resident, he's been doing talk show interviews every now and then, and they've been asking him, hey, you're going to run for governor, you're going to run for office, and he's kind of been coy and toying with the reporters when this subject comes up, and some other people saying, well, you know, he's going to make a run for governor. We don't even know if he's going to run Republican or Democrat. I know you guys on the Democrat side, you think he's going to run Democrat, but what if he decides to run as a Republican during the primary to try to unseat Governor Greg Abbott? What if he's already, Governor Greg Abbott already has a challenger. I think it's Mr. Hoffines. I believe it's from the Houston area, Dallas. I don't know. But Ted Cruz says Matthew McConaughey might actually have a shot at becoming governor. And this, I'm going to do the Jen Psaki thing and circle back to that poll I told you of last hour. And if you didn't hear it during the podcast, DanaRadio.com, go back to the second hour. I showed you a poll from an industry group that said that 52% of Americans believe that student loan debt should be paid completely. The government taxpayer should just write a check and pay all of it off. 52% said that. According to that poll, and I told you, I refuse to believe that people are that dumb. But you never know. People will follow personality. They will vote for good looks. They will vote for personality before they vote for issues. And people will vote for all sorts of different reasons. The motivation is just not clear. Like last election round in our country for president, people voted, many of them overwhelmingly, and some of them it seemed like for the first time in a long time. And I say this because somebody ran some of the numbers, did a little bit of research. People just showed up and checked one box or just voted for one office, and that was president. And it was just to vote for, to get rid of Donald Trump. They voted because hate motivated them, because they were influenced, manipulated, and they were, you know, my opinion, feeble-minded enough to be influenced by the leftist Democrat Party defending big tech media and these so-called mainstream media. But that's what happened then. People will be influenced for various reasons. I was thinking about this. There's one question that in the event that Matthew McConaughey were to run, and let's say he runs Democrat, which many people expect him to be a Democrat. Yeah, he could very easily be pressed on Second Amendment issues. And he could sink his ship if he answers wrong on that. They could ask him about taxation issues. He could deep six on that. But I think there's one signature issue, one question that you could ask Matthew McConaughey, and I don't think he would answer it right. I think just the question itself would be so potentially lethal. He might start spinning like Nancy Pelosi when she was asked, if you heard the audio last hour. Again, check out the podcast at DanaRadio.com, the complete audio of the show. I think he would just be spinning. I don't know. He probably wouldn't answer. He probably would deflect if you ask him that question. Yeah, like Nancy Pelosi deflecting and not wanting to answer if a baby is a baby at 15 weeks. Gestation at 15 weeks, if that's a human being, if that's a baby, like she was at 15 weeks. You, all of us, we were at one point, we were there at 15 weeks. We had a right to life, right? To come into this world and exercise our God-given talent, some a little more than others, but we were all there. And she didn't answer the question. She just spun. I think here in Texas, there's one little piece of political kryptonite you could throw at Matthew McConaughey and he would sink his ship immediately. It's the border wall. It's the Texas border wall. I think that if he were to run as a Democrat against Governor Abbott, because I would expect Governor Greg Abbott, I mean, just this is me. Man, I every day I open my mouth, I'm expressing my bias. This is my point of view. And I'm thinking Governor Greg Abbott is going to survive the primary no matter who runs against him. He'll survive the primary. And he will be the Republican candidate. That's just me right now. I know it's a long ways off. Next March is a long ways away, but I think he's going to be there. So it's Greg Abbott and versus Matthew McConaughey. If Matt decides to run as a Democrat and there's no other lefty, crazy, communist Democrat that wins all the crazy communist Democrat votes in Texas, let's say they go for personality. Oh, Matthew, you're so beautiful. I'm going to vote for you. So he's going to be on the ballot. So just ask him. Hey, yo, Matt. You're a multimillionaire, right? You could probably afford to pay for your own campaign. You believe in good causes. You believe in Texas. That's why you're running. You love Texas because you're running for governor. Yo, Matt, as a multimillionaire, how much money have you donated to the Texas border wall? Ask him that. And see, just watch the magic happen after that. Because either he adopts it or he sinks every single Democrat who's going to vote for him, or he says, I don't give any money to that. I don't believe in that. And all conservatives will come out in force and make sure that Matt goes back to Austin, takes his shirt off, goes and sunbathes, and, you know, starts drinking on a balcony somewhere, whatever he wants to do, go to UT football games, and right on, just live on with his life. That one issue can sink him immediately. That's his kryptonite. Meantime, here in Texas, we got the border wall that Governor Abbott is trying to crowdfund. And we'll see where that goes. I know there's lots of ranchers, lots of property owners near the river that they immediately want to surrender their land or participate in partnership with the state of Texas. They want to partner up and provide some type of wall or structure to move traffic in the way for Border Patrol to catch these folks. State of Texas, Governor Greg Abbott, also his folks have cleaned out something called the Dolph Briscoe Unit, Dilley, Texas. That's about an hour away from San Antonio, Central Texas. San Antonio is in Central Texas. Don't let anybody else tell you anything. San Antonio is Central Texas. And about an hour further south in Dilley, they've got this unit they've cleared out. They got 1,000 beds for illegal immigrants who go on to private land. If they trespass, if they break Texas law, this is what it's for. Yes, I know it's only 1,000, and what do you do with the next 1,000? Because after all, we've got, my goodness, we had 180,000 last month, 178,000 the previous month, but you got to do something. You got to do something. It's more than a stunt. This is the state of Texas enforcing its laws. You trespass on state property. You trespass on private property. Law's the law. You either enforce it and live with rule of law, or you do like the Democrats and Joe Biden and ignore it and have chaos and anarchy on the border like we have right now. We have a real deal emergency, and it branches off into all sorts of humanitarian crises as a result. Dead people in ranch country, dead people in the southwest border succumbing to the elements, kids that are being assaulted and abused, you know, they're being abused sexually, women being raped, rape trees all over the place. This, all of that mess belongs to Joe Biden. We did not have this until he showed up. And Texas is trying, Governor Greg Abbott is trying to enforce the law, trying to do something. So that deadly question I'd throw over to Matthew McConaughey. I throw you too, my friend. How much money you going to give to the Texas border wall for this effort? Because the federal government has abandoned us at the border, period. From her southern command right here on the U.S.-Mexican border, Texas-Mexican border, McAllen, Brownsville, Rio Grande Valley of Texas, southern command for the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
From South Texas, this is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Appreciate you checking in. And just a little bit, I'll share a conversation I had with Bill McGinley. He worked for President Trump. He was one of the advisors to President Trump. And because of the court ruling yesterday, the high court ruling on Obamacare, we kind of tossed that one around a little bit. Not a surprise to him. It is the, I hate to say it, but it is the law of the land. And the only way to change it is, again, by what I've, every day I try to encourage folks here in South Texas, and blessed to encourage all Patriot family across our beautiful country. You need to get in there. You got to run for office. You got to learn. You got to work elections. You got to get in there. We need to change Congress, and we got a good chance to do that next year. We got a bunch of people that are going to be declaring their candidacy for Congress. That's the only way. It's going to be through the legislative efforts. Steve, I didn't start the clock, so you just warn me when we have like 90 seconds. That way I can do some set some time for Okay, my brother, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Let's see here. Nielsen, the folks that do the surveys on television, radio. Nielsen reports showing streaming services, they're gaining more ground on network and cable TV at the time watched. Nielsen data showing about 26% of the time spent watching TV was on streaming services. I know I told you sometime back, not much of a TV watcher, but I have been of late. Deli and I, my wife and I, first time in 20 years, we've been spending a lot more time in front of the boob tube because we finally got a smart TV and discovered all these wonderful apps and great programs and free apps and saving a lot of money. I got rid of my DirecTV. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, DirecTV. And all money in my pocket these days. Amazon Prime Day is Monday, the 21st. This is going to be the biggest sale ever. BMW going to be testing hydrogen-powered vehicles in Europe. And up in Houston, they say they found a Civil War cannonball as they were moving some dirt, fixing some roads up in Houston. From South Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.
The weird, the unusual, and the hilarious. Check out Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've been going back through my mind. Maybe you can come up with a better week in American diplomacy overseas over the past 20 years in the 21st century. Oh, I've been trying to figure it out over the past 12 hours. I can't think of a more successful diplomatic trip in the 21st century than this one.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Joe Scarborough from MSNBC. See, that's the problem, Joe, as he said. He's going back through his mind, which I don't think there's much there to begin with. Most successful diplomatic trick of the 21st century. Yeah, for Vladimir Putin and for everybody in Europe, that's what you're referring to, right, Joe? Or could it be that maybe Joe Scarborough is kissing some Biden booty. Maybe he's looking for a gig at the White House, don't you think, man? Like chief of staff or something under the Biden administration. Maybe I think that's probably the angle. Joe's just sucking up to Joe Biden. Maybe Joe Biden will Jen Psaki back to him and give him a gig. Welcome to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Stick around. I got a conversation with a new friend of mine, Bill McGinley. He worked for President Donald Trump. And because of the high court decision yesterday on Obamacare, no surprise, where's the fix to Obamacare? It's where you and I and all patriots and all Americans who love our nation and wish for it to survive. It's in the heavy lifting department. It's in politics. We got to change Congress. So that conversation coming up in a little bit. I saw this headline before we came back. Catholic bishops, some of them are talking about a possible rebuke of Joe Biden. Well, more power to you. Because when Nancy Pelosi, like one of the cuts that we played last hour, is some reporter asked Nancy Pelosi, hey, is a baby at 15 weeks, is that baby a human being? Yes or no? And she didn't answer. The whole abortion thing, the whole pro-abortion thing, the whole pro-murder stance by these Democrats, and they refuse to acknowledge the life of the unborn, the right to life for that individual headed this way. That individual is allowed to gestate, allowed to mature and be born. It's not going to be a horse. It's not going to be a dog. It's not going to be a monkey, as hairy as my sons are, and they're monkeys. I call them monkeys. They're human beings. 15 weeks, that person has a right to. And their position? Man, any priest who decides to give them communion, I'm surprised that they don't burn immediately in front of them. There's hellfire raining on them. So anyway, I saw that headline on some Catholic bishops talking about possibly rebuking Joe Biden for the anti-life, pro-abortion, let's call it what it is, the moves of his administration, allowing for more federal funding for abortions. And I hope they go through with it. That's a good headline. It's, in my opinion, it's good to see and hear the church, whether it's the Roman Catholic Church or whether it's independent churches or the Southern Baptist, which, by the way, I saw this headline early this week on Southern Baptist. They had their big convention, and the write-up by the press, it seemed like they were almost celebrating the Associated Press of the fact that a conservative did not win leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention. I don't keep up with them. I saw that headline with disappointment. And that's been a general trend, it seems, for several years now. There's several denominations that are rotten to the core now. They've completely strayed away from core roots Christian doctrine a long time ago. And I hope the Southern Baptists are not moving in that direction. But anyway, that headline was earlier this week and how they elected a non-conservative or a more moderate. That's no way to be going. Anyway, for Catholics who, by the way, through just watching them politically through years, it seems like for the longest time now, Catholics, my Catholic friends and family, you guys have surrendered your birthright of liberty and personal responsibility, but your birthright of liberty and your obligation to be the individuals who provide the charity. What do you think at the end of days, Lord's going to look at y'all if that's what you believe? And excuse me for a second, because I'm talking to the Christian community right now, just from my perspective. You think at the end of days, when everything's tallied up, the IRS or the Department of Education or Health and Human Services will be judged on the charity or the funding or the grants that we'll provide? No. It's the individual, right? It's the church, right? Too many years, many, many people of faith. I hate that term, people of faith. No, Christians, you believe in Jesus Christ. Christians, Catholics, you guys surrendered your birthright. You keep voting 50-50 on elections, half conservative, half liberal. What are you thinking of? What are you nuts? Are you not paying attention to the issues? Stop coddling sinner politicians. You're going to do us? Let's do it. Bishops, rebuke Joe Biden for his stance on abortion. Bishops, rebuke Nancy Pelosi for her position being pro-abortion, not recognizing the life of the unborn. Do it. Stand up, man. You need to stop coddling sinner politicians. Yes, you love them all. We love everybody. You guys love everybody. But you got to call them out for their sake and for the sake of our country as well. Man, and I sure hope you guys, Southern Baptists, that's one story I need to work on for next week here at the local level. Who'd you guys vote in at leadership at Southern Baptist? You put in some Pillsbury Dough preacher up there? A lot of PC Christianity? I'd love to look into that next week. You know, folks, let me give you that conversation I promised you. As a result of the high court and their ruling 7-2 yesterday, Obamacare is still around, but there's a way to fix it. Thing is, you and I need to do some heavy lifting at the polls. Go ahead, Steve-O. Obamacare survived yet another legal challenge. Let me bring in from the Vogel Group. He was a former assistant to President Donald J. Trump. Pleasure to speak again with Bill McGinley. Bill, as the court told Texas and the other states and a couple of individuals, you got no standing in this thing. Were you surprised that the court pushed back and said, no, we don't want to hear this. You got no standing.
No, because this is the third time that the Supreme Court has turned back a constitutional challenge to Obamacare. If you remember, the first one back in 2012 was where the opinion written by Chief Justice Roberts recharacterized the law as a tax in order to find that it survived constitutional scrutiny.
That's
so
amazing. Yeah.
The fact that, you know, they dismissed it on standing, which meant that they felt that the plaintiffs, the Republican states, plus the two individuals, didn't really have the injury that was fairly traceable to the government actions, was not a great surprise. I think the court is trying to tell Congress, if you want to repeal and replace, if you want to modify this law, that's going to fall on the political branches,
yep,
not us.
Yeah, it'd go back to Congress. So there is no Achilles heel to this law. It is what it is. You can only change Congress and repeal the law. That's it.
That's exactly right. And I think what this does for conservatives and Republicans is demonstrates the need for good voter turnout in connection with the 2022 midterm elections, the importance of taking back the House of Representatives and the United States Senate so that, you know, Obamacare and the health care issue writ large, plus all of the other significant issues that the Biden administration is inflicting on America in the first 6 months of its four-year term need to be stopped. We need to have the Republican buffer in Congress. So 2022 becomes the pivotal moment.
Well, to that end, the Biden administration issue is providing plenty of political cloth for conservatives to cut. No thanks to the mainstream media that's not communicating properly to the American people and the electorate, but they're finding out. Eventually, they'll find out. How would you maximize the political effort to get the job done next year? It'll be here before you know. People are going to start filing for Congress here pretty soon.
Yeah. Look, I think, the Biden administration is trying to jam every progressive payback for the election into the first year. And I think, you know, Republicans, number one, need to unify around the America First agenda.
Yes.
They need to focus their fire on the Democrats and the policies. Because they need to be able to draw that contrast. We're coming out of the pandemic, and all of the dereg and the tax cuts and everything else that the Trump administration put in place that helped produce one of the greatest economic economies that we've ever had, the Biden administration is coming in and completely redoing that. They're imposing regulations. They want to raise taxes. The spending is out of control, causing inflation. They're being weak on foreign policy with respect to China. We need to have strong leadership in the world and at home right now so that the American economy can take off the way it wants to. President Trump and his economic advisors, when the pandemic hit, talked about a V-shaped recovery. We are well positioned to have that if the federal government would get out of the way and maintain the favorable conditions that the Trump administration created for small business owners and other businesses across the country.
Inflation, a big issue right now. I'm wondering, you think it'll stick around for the election season in late 22?
Inflation?
Yeah.
Yes, the way that they've been spending. I mean, when you look back, the Trump administration and the COVID relief policies were absolutely needed because we needed to sustain the small businesses so that when the pandemic was over, they would be in a position to reopen. Now what you're starting to see is the Biden administration is using the pandemic emergency to get through what a lot of people call, and I agree with it, a restructuring of American economy and society. And so when you look at an infrastructure package that doesn't really focus entirely on the hard infrastructure of road, bridges, airports, water infrastructure, rural broadband, and everything else that the American people recognize needs to be improved, instead, what they do is they do the cultural infrastructure and the social infrastructure and some of the other progressive policy initiatives that they've been trying to push through. This is about restructuring American society to fit their world vision. This is not about allowing the men and women who are the job creators and others who really want to move this country forward.
Bill McGinley joining me. I think China would be a powerful message the campaign on. You could say things like stop U.S. funding of the Wuhan lab. You could say things like it's time to repatriate medical equipment, personal protection equipment, pharmaceuticals, emphasize to the American people who don't know, thanks to mainstream media, they don't know 90% plus of some pharmaceuticals all produced in China. We cannot continue this dependence. I know they're kind of moving, lurching in that direction, trying to wean us away from computer chip manufacturing up in D.C., but we need to conduct a warlike warp speed effort to unplug ourselves from Chinese economic dependency.
That's exactly right. And when the pandemic hit, you know, the Trump administration, for the longest time, we were trying to domesticate the supply chain for many of the vital industries that America needs, not only to be competitive, but to defend itself in times of emergency. And when the pandemic hit, the active pharmaceutical ingredients that you're talking about that are largely manufactured in China, there was a big effort to try and repatriate those because that is a real vulnerability for the United States. The chips that go into cars and everything else that we're seeing, the supply chain problems, these industries, these manufacturing bases need to be redomesticated to the United States so that we can be self-sustained and our economy is going to be self-dependent so that we can move forward. It's also going to help the American worker because these are good paying jobs that can come back and help the American people, help American families. In the small businesses, the innovators of our economy need to have that fair playing field in order to be able to compete abroad and so that we can become a net exporter again.
So I'm thinking it's border security, economic issues, inflation, and China. There's probably some winning messages that candidates should be thinking about right now. Bill McGinley,
former assistant to President Trump. You keep in touch with former President Trump?
Haven't been in touch with him lately, but I know that you know, he's really focused on a lot of the issues that are happening here.
I ask right you because that's what I wanted to touch on. What should be his role right now in trying to help take back the House and get some Senate seats and let's go take America back for Americans, Americans first?
Look, I think that he should be helping to shape the policy agenda. I think that he should be helping to fundraise for the House candidates and Senate candidates mm-hmm. that are committed to the American First agenda. I think that, you know, he has fundamentally reshaped the Republican Party. And, you know, he has such an important role to play, not only in setting the agenda, but helping move this forward in a lot of these elections that are going to be coming up in 2022. Georgia is one of them that I think everybody should be focused on. We have a real opportunity for a pickup there. And I think that, you know, we need to retake the Senate because that's not only going to be in terms of legislation, but in terms of a lot of the nominees that the Biden administration puts forward. It's personnel as policy. And the United States Senate has an incredibly important role to play through its advice and consent function. In reviewing and confirming or denying the nominees of the Biden administration.
Thank you, Bill. From the Vogel Group, former assistant to President Donald Trump, Bill McGinley.
Thank you for having me.
And I appreciate you checking in. This is The Dana Show, and I'm Sergio Sanchez, and we're broadcasting The Dana Show from her Southern Command in South Texas.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
It's an honor that you join us on The Dana Show, friend. And thanks for reaching out, saying hi. You guys saying hi on Twitter and Facebook. I'm Sergio Sanchez, in for my friend Dana Lash. And Lord willing, we'll see you soon in a few days, I think, right before 4th of July, when I get a chance to speak again. Looking forward to hearing Dana next week and onboarding a whole bunch of new family, new affiliates to The Dana Show. Producer Steve, he's going to condense everything, so you want to listen to the whole show, the condensed version, just nothing but programming and interviews and conversation, danaradio.com. So Steve will load that here in a little bit. For the Gulf Coast affiliates, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, down to Florida, you guys, I hope you get rain. That's about it. We got that tropical something might be developing in the Gulf of Mexico, but I hope it's just rain. Looks forecast right now looks pretty good. Looks like it's not going to be that big of an issue. And a local note for here, Deep South Texas, the Dana Show Southern Command, that has connections to other parts of the country because my friends here at Economic Development, Brownsville, Texas, Rio Grande Valley of Texas, home to SpaceX, the private launch facility here, Elon Musk. You didn't know that? Well, proud to say, Elon Musk is our neighbor. He has his own private little spaceport here. And the guys at Economic Development, they did good. They also landed just this week. They announced a new aerospace firm. They, my local friends here, they beat out 53 other communities across the country and landed an aerospace firm. Paragon VTOL, that's vertical takeoff and landing. Kudos, congratulations to my friends here in South Texas. On the Twitter thing, it's @SergioTalk. And again, join Dana on Monday on the radio and on television as well, and check out her program at night as well. Thanks for joining us on The Dana Show. Okay, Steve, well, let's do some Dana stupidity. What you got?
All right. NBC's reporter, I can't even get her name, Brandy Zandranzi, was talking about why she's mad about FOIA for CRT. So here we go.
It's hard for me as a reporter because I don't want to put FOILs in a bad light, right? Freedom of information laws are wonderful things, but it is, in fact, a tactic of national and just hyper and fast-growing local organizations to use onerous public records requests. So what we'll see, what we saw in Maine, is asking for all of these records requests of, you know, how much money did you spend on anything involving race? And then that is used to sort of frame, again, the school board as being, as paying
In other words, citizens, taxpayers, trying to figure out what the school district's spending money on, especially CRT curriculum, yeah. Freedom of information, good when you go against Republicans, but not good for the citizens, right? Thanks for joining us on The Dana Show.